Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another episode of Merkaba Chakras. Today, it's all about Cupid's arrow set to hit your energetic match in the fifth dimension. I get the privilege to talk to Marla Martinson, who is a mystic matchmaker and author of The Buddha Made Me Do It, a field guide to enlightenment. Now, Marla has been matching soulmates for almost two decades based on the energetic frequency of singles. If you're familiar with my work on understanding our Merkabas to know that we are all souls having a human experience, then Marla's work is the equivalent of date your Merkaba. So forget the 3D push-pull antics and let's transition to dating in the fifth dimension with Marla Martinson. Marla, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you, Vaughn. Yay, thank you for having me. I'm excited for the mystical talk.
Oh, you know, everything is mystical, everything is spiritual. So it's all a holographic reality. So everything is, and that's what I like to, I like that about your profile and what you do is a little bit different from the typical matchmakers. But before we get into talking about matchmaking, and I'm sure you're just crazy busy during the pandemic because everybody can't just easily go casual dating anymore, so they're taking a more focused approach to things. Let's rewind to the very beginning of your journey. Can you tell us your story of how you went from collecting Buddha statues to leapfrogging you into a spiritual awakening?
Well, it was interesting. In 2011, my husband and I moved from Hollywood from an apartment to a house in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, right? So we wanted a house. We got our dream home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, swimming pool. You know, I have my office. He's got his recording studio. He's a musician and composer. And I was decluttering, and there was one little Buddha statuette. It was one of those wooden ones about this big. And I don't know why, but somebody had given it to me. I felt the need to give it to the Salvation Army with some other stuff, right? And Adolfo had my husband had never asked about it. I mean, until, of course, I gave it away. And it wasn't, I know it was given to me. He claims it was given to him or both of us. But anyway, he says, hey, where's that Buddha that, you know, our neighbor gave us? And I'm like, oh, shit. Knowing my husband, I was not going to admit that I got rid of it. So I said, he goes, you didn't give it away, did you? I said, no. It must be in the garage. It must be packed away. I'll find it. Okay, well, you better not have given that away. You were always giving stuff away without asking me. So I'm like, oh my God. So I thought I need to go and I'll just replace it. I've seen them around. And so I started hitting all the spiritual hotspots in Los Angeles and going in these metaphysical shops, yoga studios, looking for that same Buddha to replace it. And I couldn't find it. And every couple of days he'd say, did you find it, the Buddha? And I'm like, no, it must still be in the garage. I'll find it. So I thought, okay, I'll try one last place. And I'm Googling, are there any places I missed? And I found a place in the valley in Tarzana on Ventura Boulevard called the Imagine Center. And I said, I never heard of this place. I'll go in there. So I went in. It was real small, real mystical, beautiful crystals and everything. And there were no Buddhas. But the gal at the desk said, well, but we give classes and here's a flyer if you ever want to come back. And I looked and I'm like, oh my gosh, they have classes on meeting your spirit guides, on crystals, on all these things for $15 each every Wednesday night. And I called my friend Julie, who's a celebrity ghost writer, and she I said, and she lives down the street from me. I said, Julie, and she goes, did you find it, the Buddha? I said, no, but do you want to take a class with me? And she's like, sure. Now, I had studied metaphysics since the late 90s, but I was not into the witchy stuff, you know, the crystals and the pendulums and the candle magic and all that. So we started taking classes together there, and we loved it. We were just like, oh, the teacher there was amazing. And so then when those classes were over, we ended up finding other places to take classes. And I ended up getting certified in Reiki, and I got certified in crystals. And then we took candle magic and pendulums. She brought over a communication board. We connected with my angel. I mean, it went like deep dive. We just went berserk. Like, and I started having paranormal experiences.
Wait. Now, what kind of experiences? Because so you kind of like jump from one thing to another, like from, you know, some classes to Reiki to, you know, seeing auras. And they are quite fun. That for you, it's like a kid in a candy shop. Mm-hmm. So what kind of paranormal experiences were you having from taking these different excursions?
Yeah, well, astral travel for one, it was amazing. As a kid, it had happened to me a few times where I'd feel myself out of the body, but I started, you know, vibrating and lifting out. I saw my dad on the astral plane. He came in. It was amazing because one night I was asleep. My husband's sleeping next to me, and all of a sudden I'm standing by my bed and I see this light coming down from the corner of the room. And I was like scared at first. I'm like, but no, just keep looking. Someone or something was coming out of that light. And I said, it's dad. And I was like yelling at my husband, it's dad. And he wasn't waking up. I'm like, how come he's not waking up? Then all of a sudden I find myself back sitting on the bed. My dad's sitting on the edge of my bed in this brown cloak, like a monk with a hood. And I was like, he was an atheist. What's he doing looking like a monk? It's real weird, you know? But I scrambled to the edge of bed. I grabbed his arm and I was like, I love you. Looked into his eyes. He was just very serious, just nodding with these watery eyes. And then he was gone. And I crawled back into the bed and I was just like so awake and so overwhelmed at the experience. But then I realized later I was on the astral plane. I was met him on the astral plane because I wasn't really standing, my body standing at the bed. It was my spirit standing at the bed. So that feeling, spirits touching me, I'm hearing, talking in my ears, the third eye showing some patterns, and just so many cool things started happening randomly. Yeah. From opening up with the energetic work I was doing, getting attuned. I had quite a few energetic attunements.
Right. So let me ask you about something, because I've come across this with a couple of different people that I've interviewed, and you know, I have been following spirituality, obviously through the metaphysics of Buddhism, but it's not really religion, so we're open to everything. Kind of like you, candy in a kid in a candy shop. So I've come across those experiences. So it's basically you're lucid in these experiences. So was there like a message that you got out of it? Because there's got to be some kind of purpose. Was there like any purpose for why you saw your father in this experience?
Yeah, well, we're very close. He died in 2001 and he came, you know, he was able to get his energy there to come and meet me on the astral and see me and say, yes, you know, I'm here. And it was amazing. So, yeah, I mean, once you have these experiences and then connecting with my angel, now I can channel messages from my angel Thomas. And I can do automatic writing, channel things. And then I started a couple of years ago with cards, with tarot cards. And and now I'm reading on a psychic hotline. I'm giving, you know, readings and healings. And
you're just having a blast of fun.
I'm just having a blast. I'm like, you know, well, I am a Gemini, so it's like there's two people here. I cannot get enough of all of it.
Yeah, so you're just having so much fun and opening up to all these different experiences from basically your spiritual, the whole spiritual experience. So like, was there any like pivotal moment where like, oh my God, reality just started changing around you? Did you have any kind of holographic don't know, glitches or any red lights flickering and anything like that?
No lights flickering, but I mean, I do get these touches, like I'd be laying on my sofa with my bare feet hanging over the edge and somebody touched my toe, or somebody came at night and touched my, I could feel somebody behind me touching my back with their hands. It was real warm. I look, there's nobody there, poking, pulling my hair in bed. Sometimes I feel a lot of touches on my hair, my head, things like that. But it makes, you know, delving into this stuff makes you realize how magical life is, and that we are a spirit in a body and we are connected. Most of our spirit is not in the body. A small slice is just down here. We are up in the higher realms and we can connect. And just the amazing connection I have with my dog, Macy, and just connecting with, you know, other beings. And then, I you know, went into plant medicine journeys and started channeling Pleiades and light language. And, you know, it just.
And what did you get out of that? What did you get out of the light language and channeling is just connecting to another source in another dimension. So what did you get up through that connection to another
With
dimension.
The Pleiades, they were coming through saying that, you know, I'm a healer, and they said we are off. It was weird because they just came in and started talking. I just started talking and doing all these things with my hands, and they said we are off planet guides, and we are what did they say? We are changing they were doing different frequencies and clearing ancestral lines and encoding frequencies. Light frequencies. So,
right.
You know, I was like, wow, you know, and afterwards I'm like jumping up and down because it was so incredible. Yeah. And, I'm coming through. So, yeah. And you got to get into that space to do it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What I found through like my hypnosis, I do a modality of hypnosis. And what I found through my clients is some of my clients have had different incarnations as star seeds from different dimensions, from different planet systems, etc., and they have incarnated at this time to kind of basically help raise the frequency of people. But a lot of times the people have low frequency because they have kind of layered one issue that's unresolved on another, and it just kind of hold down their energy, just making more dense. And so they eventually get to a point in their life where they have grown up with all of these conditioning and all of these dense issues that they were too young to learn how to resolve. They just got compartmentalized. And then they became an adult, and then they're learning to date for the first time and find somebody that they want to be with, if they want to be with somebody. And they're dating with all this packed down dense issues that they never really fully address. And they're dating with all this baggage. And so what I found through my hypnosis clients, I'm not sure if you found this through your hypnosis clients, is they've tried these different modalities on how to date. And the thing with what I found interesting about your service is that you're a mystic matchmaker. And so you're infusing spirituality into helping people find their energetic match. So what makes mystic matchmaking different from any other matchmaking service that people can go to?
Well, okay, so I'll kind of clarify. So I don't do hypnosis. I'm not a hip.
Yeah, no, that's something I do, but.
Yeah. And, but so I have my own business for a decade, matchmaking, with a business partner who's fantastic. She does she signs up the guys, the contracts, and then I do the matching. Before that, we worked at a Beverly Hills service together, and I wrote a memoir about it called Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, and it tells all about, you know, matching up the wealthy guys with the gorgeous women. So my specialty is my paying clients are the wealthier affluent men. They're very picky. They do want the gorgeous looking women. So that's where I've my niche, and that's how I started in the industry, and that's what kept, you know, it just kept going that way. It can be very challenging because it can be very superficial. So they want a certain look, a certain age, a certain, you know, hair color, certain breast size, you know, all of that. So I found it very, sometimes it was shallow and it didn't feel good, right? So I used my spiritual my spirituality, my modalities and stuff to offset it, to balance that. Often I'll send energy Reiki to their files. I'll send Reiki to them. They might do a session with me. The women can be in the database for free, but they'll come in sometimes or call me for a reading. So I kind of infuse it, and I've mixed it in. So I started calling, I used to be called the Beverly Hills matchmaker, right? And it just doesn't resonate anymore. I'm not working in Beverly Hills. I'm trying to shift and help people more with the healing. So I said, you know, I'm really a mystical matchmaker, and the, all the work I do. So that's where I combine it. I can't really match people on frequency and stuff because they're so, even the women, it's like, well, he's got to be 6 feet and up, or he has to have this kind of job, or he's got to be, you know, there's so many, everybody's got their list that's in the 3D. So, but I do try to energetically shift them even from behind the scenes to call in that soulmate. And then with the coaching, they can clear some blocks. And what you do is great. I'm so excited that you're helping people shift and clear those things that in the subconscious so that they can move forward to find a great match.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I found in my work, and I'm sure you find this in your work, and I wanted to hear more about, because you said some very interesting points that does not only happen with kind of high-end dating where you have affluent, wealthy men looking for a token female to fulfill whatever empty void in their status that they need. And then you also have the women looking for somebody to fulfill that survival need or take care of me because I can't take care of myself. So you obviously, and that's, that is fine for some people, and that's normal in some areas. However, as we go further into the fifth dimension, I'm sure you know as well as I know that a lot of the 3D stuff that we have been defining ourselves with, right, are not going to be so heavily in play, mm-hmm, such as when poverty is addressed and survival, everybody's taken care of for the most part, and the need for survival is not a prime reason to pick somebody, then those are taken out of the equation. And then what do you have? You actually have to date for quality reasons for the person, not because that person's going to you know, financially take care of you or bring you up in your status and all these other superficial 3D things. So that's happening now, but it is falling away. And for like the regular people who are working women, working men who aren't in these far extremes of dating, and they're ready for kind of like a soul match, somebody that matches them on kind of on their level. What are some of the processes that you go through with clients to kind of get a healthy barometer of what they're looking for and how you match them? Because I'm sure you, when you're talking to a client that comes in for the first time, they have these lists. Mm-hmm. Often many of them are 3D. Many, they start as superficial first, and then they go into like the monetary, and then they go in. And so the very end of the list is this person a good person to be with? That's like the list. That's like the last of the list. That's like the bottom of the list. Is this person a healthy, good soul that I want to be with and spend my time with? That's like the bottom of the stuff. But, and so it shows that a lot of dating, especially in 3D, has layers of mommy and daddy issues hidden in that. Like I said earlier about those dense issues that people grew up in, and they pack in, and then all of a sudden they're out there on the dating market and they're bringing this luggage of dense issues that they're, you know, that's coming up to address from one date to another. So how do you coach clients to heal those wounds or, you know, address and be aware of those issues so that they don't date and replicate toxic relationships that they may have learned from their parents' relationships?
Yeah, that's a great point. And everybody has it. I mean, I was very codependent and, you know, from my childhood, being bullied, being grown up around a lot of alcohol, different things. So I was always picking guys that were putting me down or whatever. And So we all, I mean, anybody I talk to, we all have something, right? From past life or childhood. So the men aren't always so open to it. It's like, I want what I want. And they're not always as open to working on themselves. Sometimes I can get them into coaching, and there's some great men coaches that I can recommend them to as well if they're more comfortable. But doing whatever you can, whether it's hypnosis, whether it's tapping, whether it's breath work, whether it's I do boundary coaching, going back to doing shadow work, disowned qualities, underlying commitments, Carl Jung's work, you know, it takes some work. And I find in our society, we want everything now. I just want it. Get online. We can't even wait in line without getting all upset, or on the freeway, people are flipping each other off, and we want relationships right away instead of saying, wait, what do I have to clear in myself so that I don't keep picking? But that's going to be some things that we have to move into, realizing that. Also, we still have that fairy tale mentality. You know, when I grew up, it was a lot of Disney and the prince is coming on the white horse and the Cinderella slipper. I mean, I grew up on all that. Then we move into the 90s and early 2000s, the rom-coms, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, you know, You've Got Mail. My dream was, Tom Hanks in that, what a dream man. Well, that they don't exist, this kind of, you know, the guy with those quips, and he's so this and that. So even the guys have some issues going on. So we get that. We think that's what I want. And it's not really reality.
Right, right. So let me ask you something. So it sounds like before you can even properly match somebody, because it sounds like the clients really need to find clarity in what they want. Like,
well, I'm matching people. I mean, that's my bit. You know, if they want to join the matchmaking service, I'm matching them. I can't make everybody do their work. A lot of people, maybe it's available if they want to do it, but you know, that's how I make my living, high end matchmaking, and mm-hmm. for 20 years. And so we have had a lot of marriages over the years. People get in relationships. Some people get divorced and come back and sign up again, you know, because that's the, you know, 50% divorce rate or more. But yeah, I mean, I'll match people, but I will also tell them, you know, we'll talk to them. What do you think is blocking you? Why do you keep picking the same kind of woman? Can we shift here? Can we try something else? Sometimes mm-hmm. they're open to it. Sometimes they're not. And you can just bring them to the water. You can't make them drink, right?
Right, right, right. And it's a journey. It's a journey. Not everybody's mm-hmm. going to, you know, come into like a matchmaking service like yourselves and have complete clarity, be open to coaching and, you know, releasing and healing those dense issues that are really filtering the way in which they date. Sometimes they learn through your service, and they learn about themselves through your service from trial and error, but at least they have like a professional coach walking them through the field through trial and error, so they can, you know, learn from one date to another, and eventually pare down to get a clarity on what they want. Yeah. So the ones that did find success in a service like this and they got married, what are the common themes that you notice about how they pick them?
Yeah, I mean, well, we had one guy who got married, and he got it. It was on his last match. You generally do a 1-year program, and it's, you know, 1 to 2 matches a month. And he actually, see, because I have guys who I was counting, one of my guys, how many women he turned down, because I send them bio and a picture. And I have a guy turned down 33 women that I've suggested. So this guy, particular one that got married, he said yes to everybody, because he says, you're the professional, I'll meet whoever you suggest. He met everyone on his last match. I think he'd met 12 or 13 women. They got married. They're still together. It's been many years, and it's wonderful. Another guy, which is a good story, he was always picking, he was in his early 60s, always picking the hot mess, the gold digger, the girl, they look like, you know, a playmate, but they are, you know, want buy me a car, buy me a ring, or they're dating other people or lying, or they're just the hot.
So the project. So he's interested in saving the woman.
And he kept picking that. And I'm like, look, this isn't working. Why? What is it in you that you keep? Because he was a very successful professional, very handsome, everything, smart, sweet. And I said, I think when thinking about it, I think I like that subconsciously, like that drama. I'm a tech, you know, the, and so he said, look, I really finally, after he'd been beaten and battered and, you know, taken advantage of financially and heartbroken and exhausted, he says, you know, I'm gonna not go for the, that look, you know, that like Pam Anderson look, you know, that I'm gonna just get me a nice cute, I want somebody a little more low maintenance and sweet. So he shifted, realized, and it was hard because he liked that look and men are so visual, but he shifted.
And what about that specific client? Because this client is exhibits a lot of similarities to probably some other ones that that you've had. What about that type of personality look facade was fulfilling for him? Is that like, you know, is that like the token? Is that the token Hollywood? Everybody has to have this token, and then this is your view of success in a relationship. And what is it about that?
Well, it's interesting because each guy has a, because I, you know, talk to them about it and have to send them pictures, and they each have a certain look they like. Some of them have to have, you know, real curvy. Some of them want a natural looking brunette, or some like, you know, there's all sorts of types. There's not just one type, because people used to say, oh, I bet all your guys want in their 20s and blondes. It's like, no, they don't. You know, no, they don't. They want younger than themselves, usually, because they're paying for a service, and they want what's attractive to them. It could be stick thin. It could be curvy. It could be brunette, a more exotic Latina, or, you know, all American blonde or beach blonde. You know, it's just everybody is different, but they definitely have their type. And however they developed it, I remember one guy, I he wanted the women with the extra, extra large breasts and implants. And I said, look, you're really limiting yourself, because there's a small amount of women that did that. And then women who tend to put in implants that large have emotional issues. You know, it doesn't, it's not going to work out. There's a reason they need to be seen or something they're doing to themselves. And so he was never getting in a relationship because he was only going for that. And he was a psychiatrist. And he said to me, you know what? My mother had very large breasts.
So he was trying to date his mother.
Yes. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So he knew, but he wouldn't.
But he didn't want to accept it. He was denying it.
He wouldn't switch it. That's all he wanted, to date. And so I couldn't get him into a relationship, you know?
Right, right. And so, and you bring up another, those mommy daddy issues. Like, not every single, but every single person who is in the dating scene or using a matchmaking service has parents' relationships that were bad. Some of them are very good, and they try to model that, and so they almost put that on a pedestal and then try to find this pedestal type of relationship for themselves, and it doesn't always work because that's not what is out there. And then you have the flip side, where you have people who obviously have mommy or daddy issues, where they have had child neglect, they've had some toxic relationships with the mother or father, and that's manifested in who they're looking for to be in a relationship with. So they end up basically manifesting somebody who resembles their toxic mother or their toxic father, or whatever the deal is. And so you have a variety of different things. And when you're working with this and you're giving people what they want, and then they're learning, ooh, I keep getting the same result, nothing's different. Maybe it's the filter that I'm putting in, but what is it about me? So, you know, because your service wouldn't be so successful for 20 years if it didn't really produce lasting relationships. And people who just want to date somebody who fits XYZ profile and their token idea of success is going to come through and probably just try another matchmaking service because they're just, you know, just hopping from one service to another. So, you know, for everybody else who's looking at something like this, because not everybody is ready to kind of do online dating, or just kind of they tried dating on their own, just not have success because maybe they're really busy or whatever the deal is. What tips can you give people to help them date in a fifth dimensional, higher frequency manner?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, let's, you know, we all, and don't beat yourself up, or we're not picking on anybody. You know, it's like everybody has work to do. I've done a lot of work on myself, and I'm sure you have. We've all had to, and I'm still doing it, even though I'm married for 20 years, and I've been married two other times, and it's still, I still have issues I'm working on, you know, with that. So just look at, you know, journal and commune with yourself, get into some quiet time meditation, and really write down what is it that you're looking for, what are potential blocks, patterns, what do you maybe need help with, and reach out to somebody who's either a coach or a hypnotist or is some kind of a energy healer. Just start, you can start small and just kind of delve into it, where you can clean up some of this stuff, these patterns, because gosh, I don't think I've met anybody who has it. Because even some people you think, oh, they've got a great relationship, they're married, then if you really knew the backstory, no, they're struggling with this or that, or maybe it took what it took to get there. So don't envy anybody else either, because everybody's on their own journey. We don't know what's really going on. And we see that in celebrity relationships, we see so many of them have been married, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they're just switching around with this movie star with that one, right? They're, you know, they meet somebody on a movie set, and then it's all romantic. They get married, and then they, oh, now he's with this one, and it's just rampant. So
why do you think that is? Because that happens a lot in that, and then also in kind of like more affluent relationships too, where there's more,
yeah,
you know.
I think it's with the celebrities. It's they're also they're often traveling. They're on set maybe for 8 months or so long, and then they're not with their partner. They're working constantly, and then they're with their leading. Like we saw that with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, who was married to Jennifer Aniston, who was working on the film with Angelina Jolie, and then they fell in love. And maybe if he and Jennifer had any glitches or whatever, we don't know, but we see them falling in love with their co-stars, and it's so romantic, and they're so close. Maybe they're having sex scenes and romantic scenes, and they're spending all their time together, and it just blossoms. But then once they're out of that, and then they're on to another movie with another co-star that's sexy too, it's just like it can't, very hard. And then all the pressure and the gossip magazines, and it's just a big mess. Now with women who come to me, I've had women say, I want to date a billionaire. I don't even want a multimillionaire, a billionaire. And I'm like, look, you know what? Are you sure? Because these billionaires can get anybody they want. There's women throwing themselves at them. They have to have a certain personality to have become a billionaire. It's not like they think it's, oh, I'm going to have this wonderful lifestyle, and I'm going to be on yachts and planes, and you know, be careful what you wish for. That's going to be blood money, probably.
Yeah.
For that, you know, they're going to have to be spending a lot of time, because these are also people who are so driven to succeed and to create more. And I mean, all of that, they're not going to be just home every night with you, you know, sitting, you know, watching Netflix. They're going to be, you know, look at Elon Musk. He's sending rockets to Mars, and, you know.
Right. You know, it's so funny about the celebrity couples like Angelina and Brad Pitt. Before they ever got really famous, I actually, when I was like in college and high school, I would look at their movies and say, oh, you know, they're so good looking, I should put them together. So I would put them together as my own cosmic matchmaking, and then I would put other people together as my cosmic matchmaking. And then over the course of the last 2 or 3 decades, many of these couples that I put together actually got together in real life. I'm like, did I is this all a manifestation of my own amusement? Cool. Am I like a cosmic matchmaker? But that was just for fun, because I thought they would look good together. Not that they would actually like last a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously that was just cosmic surface level matching.
Yeah.
Not a soul level matching. Because oftentimes, you know, a lot of things go into that, like children and careers, and there's all these different factors that make a happy relationship once you find somebody that you find a connection with. So with that, let's go into the difference between what is, in your experience, the difference between a fifth dimensional relationship as compared to a third dimensional relationship. Because you're going to get you get both types of clients come to you. So how do you work
well,
with that?
Well, I can't, you know, I don't match that way. I just have to match with what they get. I mean, it's already so, I have to get down age range? Do they want kids? Is there a political, now with politics, I have to match based on that. A lot of them won't date the same, date the opposite party, which I've never had to do that before.
Why is that? Now I actually asked you a question about this one, because this never used to be an issue a long time ago. Before, people used to have no problem dating if somebody had a different perspective, but why is it so polarizing now that they won't date somebody?
I just can't believe it. It's just really sad. It's very, and it really narrows down again, you know. It's just people are so I've never seen it, how opposite and just holding on to our own beliefs and not letting someone else have an opposite thought about it. And I've never seen that before. So I have to keep that in there, plus location, you know, all of this stuff, plus looks, plus, you know, that I can't, and then lifestyle. Oh, some, does she drink? Because I have a wine collection. I want someone who drinks. I won't date a vegan. I won't date, if one guy, he was upset. The girl talked about chemtrails and that aliens built the pyramids. And he says, you know, this is nuts. Chemtrails aren't real. And can't you find me someone normal? So I was like, oh boy, you're in Southern California. I don't know. A woman, the way it looks, the looks the way you want, that doesn't, isn't aware of chemtrails. So, you know, all these things that I can't get into, you know, 5D, 3D with these people. That's not what
because
I'm doing.
Because they haven't even gotten to that point.
But so many of the women in, especially SoCal or, you know, California, but other places too, they're so into all this growth and yoga and crystals, and they're doing juice fasts, and you know, they're really working on themselves. And yeah, I just love meeting all these amazing women. And the guys are slowly, you know, getting into it a little, learning, and
they're slow to the game.
They're
working on it. They're working on it. And you know, it's that is so true. I mean, for a long time in my hypnosis practice, I get a lot of women coming in looking to, okay, I tried this modality, that modality. I tried channels, mediums. I tried psychics. I tried blah, 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 blah. I'm going to try hypnosis. And they basically want to get clarity on what they want to experience next. And so, you know, we'll go through that and they get what they need and they're off and running. But lately I've been getting a lot more men than women to deal with their childhood issues that have been kind of filtering in to a lot of the ways in which they are, how they're raising their children, how they're dating, you know, how they are in their relationship, etc. And so the guys are coming into the fold and they're working on their inner healing. And what I found with all these different modalities, it doesn't really matter what modality. I personally don't think it matters what modality it that people use, because at the very end of it, it's just about getting clarity so that you can manifest the best experience here in this lifetime while you're here. And that's basically what everybody's trying to do, is have the best experience possible, because nobody wants to live a life where they're just tormented all the time and they self-torment themselves in all the different ways that they could do it. So, you know, totally get that. But like, you know, how can like single people navigate any nuances in their reality so that they can match with somebody who is kind of at their level of where they want to go? So can you give me some like examples? Like, let's say a client comes in and says, Marla, I played the field. I'm totally ready to settle down right now. I have unsuccessfully tried it myself. It didn't work. So I'm here with a professional. You know, I don't want to date forever. So, you know, tell me what to do. What, I'm willing to do anything. You have all these tools in your bag of spiritual work. So I'm willing to do anything, like your best perfect client. Like, what is your process? What can they expect from you?
Well, so the men who, you know, the paying clients, they'll come first, they'll talk to my business partner, Fred Lee, and they'll go over their whole history of dating. And, you know, a lot of them will say, oh, my ex was a narcissist, or I found out she was on, you know, she got addicted to pills, or, you know, there's all these stories. Or We had a child custody thing, you know, there's people, or maybe somebody's never been married and we find out why. So she goes through all that with them. And then if we feel, then we speak, me and my partner, and if we feel they're a good fit, they'll come over to me and then I'll interview them and find out what kind of lady they're looking for and all of that. So, and then along the way we get feedback. So we fine tune it and we start with one match. And, but frequency is always matched. That's the way the universe works. It doesn't work any different. Frequency is always going to be matched. So whatever frequency you're at, that's what's going to end up coming in. So I do suggest that you, you know, whether it's with me, whether it's with you or anybody else, you know, get some, start working on yourself or with some books or online. Whatever it is, just get your frequency up, clear out some old patterns and start working with yourself. But we'll work with people. I mean, we don't demand people do any inner work to work with us or anything. That's just, you know, we are working in the 3D in this matchmaking, but I infuse my own 5D cosmics.
Yeah. You're trying to send good energy to them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what typically I find is everybody's going to be exactly where they're supposed to be at that time, and they're getting the exact lesson that they're supposed to get. And they may not understand why they're going through certain experiences, but you know, through hypnosis, it is revealed why they went through, and they're like, oh, I am actually where I'm supposed to be. And so if they're coming to you, they're supposed to come to you. If they're dating the people that they're dating, it's supposed to happen for their own evolution and for their own growth. So it's funny that you say that eventually they all end up getting matched to the perfect frequency anyways. The universe is very funny that way. It's just going to cosmically match people anyways. And then I know what I found in my hypnosis, they had been married a couple of lifetimes anyway. So even the way that they zigzag to find each other might be, you know, they think they're being creative, but they still found each other all these different lifetimes. It's very funny. You know, what last message do you have for people who are currently dating right now during the pandemic, and how can they do that best with a matchmaking service like yourself?
Yeah, we're having, you know, people are, at first it was so crazy when it's the COVID, you know, shut down everything and all my clients went on hold. They're all like, I'm not dating right now. And everybody was like freaking out. And it went on quite a while, but now the last month, people are like, they're getting sick of this. And they're right. Everybody, every single person is dating again. They're all, and I just got one guy that just texted me yesterday. Hey, is anything going on? Yes, I said, everybody's dating. Come on, join in. And people are meeting in person. If they're not meeting in person, they're doing Zoom dates. I had a guy order a gal a bottle of champagne and they had a Zoom date and chatted. He was in LA, she was in Florida. They're FaceTiming, they're talking on the phone. One gal's flying tomorrow over to Arizona to meet a guy. He's going to take her out and have a great dinner and have a wonderful time. So people are doing it. It's like, you know, like, oh, the sun came out again. You know, people are wanting to find love. It was very frustrating for people being locked down and not being able to look for love all these months, you know, and so it feels good. It feels good to be
back.
That's
good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, people are resilient. Now, Marla, I could talk to you all day about relationships of the fifth dimension and finding that perfect match. And I think people is going to really enjoy doing a little early spring cleaning on their inner consciousness and personal wellness so that they can manifest that 5D type of relationship and love affair with themselves and with somebody else that they attract into their lives. So I think 5D dating is going to be a hoot to experience, and a lot of people are working towards that. Some people are there earlier than others. And so to get a matchmaker who's kind of tuned into that and have all these different tricks of the trade in spirituality is very unique in this profession. So for everybody else, if you want more information about Marla Martinson's Mystic Matchmaking Service, please visit her website, marlamartinson.com. She also provides coaching services. If you're not quite ready to get your feet wet and get matched up to some of these different people in your area, she will help you with coaching to kind of help you clean up those dense energies so that you could be high vibe. And then when you are ready, her service is there to match you up as well. So Marla, thank you so much for the interview. For everyone else, thank you for listening to another enlightening conversation. Until next time, Blessings.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Marla.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.